money on pornography in America each year than we do on foreign aid combined. The average child views pornography for the first time at age 11, usually inadvertently. Parents, you may say you have a 12 to 13-year-old child you don't think is ready to hear teaching on pornography, but statistically speaking, you may be too late. The number one consumer of pornography is boys ages 12 through 17. Pornography is a major issue in our student ministry, from students of every kind of home and every kind of schooling approach. There are students battling with pornography who come from solidly biblical homes in hyper-protected environments, as well as students who come from non-Christian homes with no parental supervision. Pornography is an issue with our collegians and older singles. Pornography is a problem with our newly marrieds, and to be quite honest, with our older marrieds of every age. And honestly, pornography has become and has been a problem with some of our leaders, and it is a constant temptation for every man here, any age, any marital status. And pornography now is becoming a problem for women. It is a gigantic issue. Google the word sex, and you will find 791 million hits. The first two will be hardcore pornography. Over 25%, that's one in four of all internet searches, are for pornography. One in four. In other words, my brothers and sisters, we cannot look the other way and pretend that this problem does not exist. It does. And there is not one of us here this morning who would dare to eat brownies that we know are made of sugar and flour and chocolate and eggs and oil and baking soda and dog poop. We wouldn't do it. You wouldn't eat it. None of us would drink a soda that's primarily made up of sugar and soda water, prune juice and pool chlorine. We wouldn't drink it. But some of us in this room are reading the word, going to prayer, fellowshipping the saints, gathering every Sunday for worship, giving financially to the Lord, serving in ministry while poisoning our hearts, souls, and minds with pornography. And as a result, it's guilt, a damaged marriage, it's stealing your joy, it's depression, deception, secrecy, shame, a dull heart, distance from others, a lack of passion, an open door for greater compromise and sin against a holy, righteous, and pure God who has a better plan for you. Titus 1:15, to the pure, all things are pure. Hebrews 13:4, let the marriage bed be held in honor among all. Why is this such a huge issue? Why are some Christians passionless when it comes to Christ and His Word? Why doesn't marriage fix this problem, even a brand new marriage? For the answer to that, please open your Bibles to James chapter 1 and take the outline found in your bulletin as we continue in a series called Tough Stuff. About 8 months ago, the elders got together and said, what are some of the issues that we need to address directly from the pulpit? And we're taking just this month and next month to deal with these issues. We're calling it Tough Stuff. We've dealt with worry wealth, worry over wealth. We've talked about the doctrines of grace and the depths of salvation. Today we're talking about pornography. And my goal is simple this morning. Very simple. Number one, glorify God. Period. To honor Him. Number two, to be a help. Both in the word being preached and also later on, we hope, being a resource, this sermon, to help you and to help others in print and on MP3. And I want to be direct this morning. I will not be crass, but we need to see what the scripture has to say and how we can really deal with this issue. Number one in your outline, then, the problem is lust. The problem is lust. Sex and sexuality are not the problem. Lust is. What contributes to the problem of pornography? The answer is what? Lust. Say it. What? Lust. A basic definition of lust is a strong emotion. There are actually times in the scripture it's used in a positive manner. There's nothing wrong with strong emotion, but in this particular issue, lust is a strong emotional craving for what God has forbidden sexually. James 1:13, after a lengthy discussion of trials, then he begins to address the issue of temptation, and he reminds us not to blame our sin on anyone but ourselves, and particularly don't blame God. Look at verse 13. He says, let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. The problem of pornography comes when Christians don't take responsibility for their sin or remember the danger of their own sinful, deceitful hearts. Husbands, Don't blame your wives. You're just like Adam, the woman you gave me, God. Eve got a little fat, God. I'm just dealing with stuff. And it's true, our Heavenly Father does allow temptations, but we all have an escape, a spirit-empowered will that can flee. Christian, the battle is internal, it's difficult, it's against your own flesh, but you have the Spirit of God who can enable you to overcome. Look at verse 14. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Carried away there is the picture of being lured into a trap. It's a hunting analogy. What lures you into the pornography trap is lust, which is that strong emotional desire of that which God has forbidden. And a part of this trap is this. Get this. The emotional lustful passion is addictive. It's like a drug. This lust creates a rush that becomes a real felt need. If you would willingly admit this morning, would you please? How many of you are addicted to coffee? Can I see your hands? Okay. You need coffee to start your day. You don't do much in the morning until you've had your cup of Joe, right? Christian cocktail, liquid life. I got it. You understand, those of you who have this issue, and we're not speaking about that today, you understand the pull of lust and pornography, because that's what it is. It has that sense of addiction to caffeine or worse. And again, verse 14 clarifies, it is your own lust. See, the problem is not the tempter without, but the traitor within. The problem is you. The battle here is not merely the removal of external stimuli. The battle must take place in your heart. Men, you don't win the battle merely by turning off your computer. Parents, you don't win this battle by merely isolating your kids any more than hiding away in a monastery is going to cure your lust. The battle is one of the flesh for the heart. You are the problem. Say that with me. I'm the problem. Go ahead. Ready? I'm the problem. You have a time bomb in you that's ticking away. So what is it that contributes then to the widespread compromise with pornography? Let me give you some of the main reasons. Here they are in your outline. First, we don't run from the fact that it's free and accessible. We don't run from the fact that it's free and accessible. Not long ago, in order to peruse pornography, you would have to go to a store and pick up an embarrassing looking magazine that's covered in brown paper and purchase that while everybody's watching you. Or you'd have to go to this little sleazy little shack somewhere on the side of the road that was totally disgusting, that had giant X's on the front of the windows, and you knew what was going to go. You don't have to do that anymore. Now all you have to do is go to your room, close the door, and then turn on your computer, log on to the internet, and now you have access to millions of resources of pornography. Every home in this congregation has the potential of being a pornographic peep show and a brown paper wrapped library of pornography. Are you ready for this? 36% of all content on the internet, 36% is pornographic. There are some who need to post a warning sign on their bedroom door, a giant XXX. Secondly, we forget how susceptible we are. James 1, of course, did you notice what follows the teaching on trials in verses 2 to 12? What follows the teaching on trials? Answer, temptation. Verse 13, and that's true in life. When you go through the pressure of trials and difficulties, then temptations will follow. Some people turn to pornography to deal with emotional disappointments. When your life is full of fatigue and health problems and trauma and deep emotional pain and lack of intimacy with God and or a distance with others, a marriage that's strained, a friendship that's failed, your heart is broken, then you're vulnerable. It can be as easy, and we talk about this a lot, as HALTS, H-A-L-T-S, when you're hungry, angry, lonely, tired, or stressed. You're ripe for pornographic temptation. And as human beings, what do we do with pain? We want to get rid of it fast. And pornography offers a quick fix for the emotional emptiness we sometimes feel. When we're wounded, when we're weary, our defenses are down, then Satan is able to sneak in with temptations we might otherwise be able to fight off. Some of you can say, well, you know, I'm not going through any particular great trial right now. I'm okay. Oh, even there, we're susceptible. Like David in leisure on his rooftop catching a glance of Bathsheba. our comfortable culture encourages us to forget we're in a spiritual battle with an enemy who wants to destroy us. We recently, as a church, spent 10 weeks on studying spiritual warfare. How many of you live this entire week without even a thought remembering that you were in a battle with the devil who wants to destroy you? The reason I bring that up is not to make you feel guilty. The reason I bring it up is telling you and reminding you we're living in a culture that makes it very difficult to remember we're in a battle. Sometimes we even treat media as some sort of right. We have the right to watch whatever we want. But Jesus promises no matter what hits us, look at 1 Corinthians 10:13, and let's read that out loud together in your outline. Let's read it out loud. Here we go. No temptation has overtaken you, but such is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will provide a way of escape also that you may be able to endure. We're most vulnerable during trials, but God is the one who is going to help us. That's why God tells us to ask for wisdom in James chapter 1, verse 5. We need to be asking God to help us, to admit that we're vulnerable, to cry out for help, to be like Peter, who is sinking in the water. He just, Lord, save me. We can't resist in our own strength. We need to be dependent people. Now, why else is pornography a big problem? Number three in your outline, we underestimate the consequences of this sin. We underestimate the consequences. There is a reason. The New Testament says in 1 Corinthians 6:18, flee immorality. And then it says something very pointed and painful. Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. Sexual sin, lust, fornication, adultery, pornography are not like other sins. They hurt us, they mark us, they enslave us. Proverbs tells us sexual sin results in wounds, disgrace, and a reproach that will not be blotted out. Pornography today is removing men from ministry. It is preventing men from ministry. It is destroying marriages. It is harming oneness. It is warping singles and so much more. And that's why God says flee. It means run in terror. Run in terror. Physically, get away, move away, get rid of it, stay away, run. Psalm 101, it's not in your notes. Verse 3, I will set no worthless thing before my eyes. In my garage, I have some weed killer that I keep up on a high shelf. I've got some fertilizer, too, that I keep up on a high shelf so no one can get to it. Pornography is a poison that must be thrown out. You can't store it. You can't keep it so it's accessible. You've got to get rid of it incompletely. God who created male, female, the God who gave you your sexuality and your drives, knows what he's talking about when he says, flee. Run away. Run away. Pornography is sexual sin, and if it remains unrepentant, if it continues to be ongoing, it raises some serious questions. True salvation not only frees us from the penalty of sin, but the power of sin. And as a believer, you can overcome sinful addiction. And if you're given over to pornography and you're not torn up about it, it raises a question. The question is, are you truly his child? Right before Paul commands us to flee there in 1 Corinthians 6:18, that's in your notes, he makes a serious point in 1 Corinthians 6:9 through 11. He says, do you not know that the unrighteous shall what? Not inherit the kingdom of God. Don't be deceived. Neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, or homosexuals shall inherit the kingdom of God. Such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of our God. Sexual sins, lust, and pornography can be conquered in this life and can be conquered in the life of a true believer. You heard testimony to that already this morning. The question is, are you a real believer or a make believer? Fourth, we don't work at maintaining marital passion. Turn over, if you would, please see this in your Bibles, 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Sadly, even healthy marriages will drift into routine. After 4-plus babies, and in our congregation, 6-plus babies, bodies change. With age, might men fight chubbiness. Exhaustion of work, the demands of children make romance difficult. Providing, cleaning, cooking, preparing, serving makes it difficult for couples to take care of each other physically. And it's no secret that men need intimacy more than women. And as a result, 1 Corinthians 7 commands couples to take care of each other. There's a command. It says, but because, verse 2 of 1 Corinthians 7, immoralities, let each man have his own wife, let each woman have her own husband. Let the husband fulfill his duty to his wife, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise also the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Stop depriving one another, except by agreement for a time that you may devote yourselves to prayer and come together again, lest Satan tempt you because of your lack of self-control. When couples don't take care of each other's physical needs, they contribute, not cause, they contribute to the lure of pornography. Now, here's a convicting fact. What is it that makes pornography so alluring to men? Answer. 95% of pornographic movies have a single premise. The theme of almost all pornographic movies is this: women wildly want sex with men. The main premise, that is the main premise of porno flicks and the main allurement of men to them. Men who follow Christ and His Word get married thinking that their wives will feel strongly about sex as they do. Honeymoons affirm that belief. But time, health, age, children put so much strain on marriages that the passion of intimacy that Solomon's wife expresses in Song of Solomon seems more like a fantasy than a reality. The Bible describes the passion a wife can have for her husband in the Song of Solomon, so men struggle with the lack of desire they sense, even from wives who take care of them. Some Christian men who become addicted to pornography do so because it's the only place they experience any desire from a woman who actually desires intimacy as much as they do. Now listen, in no way what I just said takes men off the hook. Wives are never an excuse for men to participate in pornography. Men who blame their wives are sinning more by doing so and are dangerously deceiving themselves of their own lust. But you got to understand, as a husband and wife that are one, this idea, an issue of routine, neglect, and lack of passion is a contributor to the temptation of pornography. It is. Intimacy is not everything in marriage, but it is important in marriage, and it is a very spiritual issue before God. Therefore, it must be a priority. Let me give you another reason. Fifthly, we forget how the sin of pornography works. Back to James 1. Pornography, like all sin, begins with the emotions of lust, then it conceives in the mind, and then it is acted out by choice of the will. It starts, though, with internal emotion. The temptation comes emotionally first. Look at James 1. It says, then when lust, that's that strong emotion, that's when it starts, has conceived, that's in the mind, it gives birth to sin, and when it is accomplished, that's an act of the will, it brings forth death. Don't be deceived, my beloved brethren. Did you notice here that sin is talked about not as an act, but as a process? From a wrong heart of frustration, anger, fear, desire, and ease, comfort, and escape, that strong emotion creates an open door for sin. Then the mind chooses to dwell on the emotion. And then finally, the will engages in sin. That's how the process works. Now, get this. TV, film, and pornography stir up emotions, are you ready, that bypass the mind and go straight to our affections. Media has the power to make evil look good and exciting without engaging our conscience or our mind. Ultimately, it hardens your heart and causes it to forget the ugliness of sin and the holiness of God while deadening your spiritual hunger. Media is powerful. And it goes right into that aspect of the emotional temptation. And then it almost turns off the mind. So temptation to desire, then desire to thought, and thought to action. But it all starts with heart desire. At its core, pornography is a battle of the drives of your flesh and the desires of your heart. One more time. You got to write that down. It is the drives of your flesh and the desires of your heart. That's what opens the door. That's what you got to focus on. And sixthly, the reason why it's such an issue today is we don't find our satisfaction in Christ. We have allowed an emotion, a desire, a drive to become an idol in our life. Every single Christian who battles with pornography has a deeper heart issue that they are not dealing with before the Lord. And that's why the prophet Ezekiel in 14:3 says, these men have set up idols where? In their hearts. Say it one more time. These men have set up idols where? In their hearts. To deal with their fear, their frustration over hard circumstances, their insecurities over relationships, their difficulties with their spouse and children, their inadequacies in life, or our love of ease and comfort, we will, get this now, try to satisfy, try to cover, or try to find relief from those emotions with pornography. That's what's going on. And instead of repenting of those root heart issues, people are trying to satisfy those internal idols with a quick, lustful rush provided by pornography. The question for all Christians is this: does Christ truly satisfy the desires of your heart? The problem is lust. So that leads us to the second issue, which is number two: the priority is the heart. The priority is the heart. Turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 6. Now, there are definitive steps that must be taken to deal with pornography. But as you take those steps, you've got to deal with the heart. And by the way, this is the area that most people overlook. But they've got to deal with it. When I go backpacking, and sometimes at 12,000 feet, when it's absolutely frigidly cold when I was younger, if you took care of your core, the main part of your body, then everything else would be okay. But if you got cold in your core and in your head, you were in trouble. Okay, it gets really cold up there. And all I'm saying is that if a Christian, you take care of your heart, it's going to take care of everything else. Never overlook the priority of biblically realigning your heart and dealing with those issues. And how do you do it? By, first of all, confessing pornography is sin. Don't excuse it. Don't say everybody's battling with it, so what's the big deal? Don't blame your circumstances. Don't blame your wife. Don't blame your lack of a spouse. Don't blame God. Like you did when you first became a Christian, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from our righteousness. Confess, which means you agree with God that pornography is sin. It is your fault. You're owning it. You cannot find solution without owning this issue. Secondly, ask the Lord to help you identify the idols in your heart. Ask the Lord to help you. What's the root issue that's motivating your lust for pornography? Remember, purity starts within. So 1 Corinthians 10:14, therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. Run from those idols of the heart. Flee from impurity of the mind. Jesus said in Matthew 5:28, but I say to you that everyone who looks on a woman to lust for her has committed adultery already in his what? Heart. The battle to overcome pornography is first an internal battle where you identify, begin to repent of internal frustrations. Ty talked about anger and other things that were going on. Your love of ease, your laziness in relationships, not getting what you want, your internal desire for control and whatever else is fueling your lust for pornography. There are things that are driving this that you've got to deal with in your heart, and then say the same thing that God says about it. Confess it, own it. And then those wrong heart motivations which are driving your lust, confess those and turn in repentance. But not merely run from sin, but also pursue, thirdly, Christ intensely and internally from the heart. Number three, pursue Christ. One of the ways to stay pure is to pursue the pure one. One more time, one of the ways to stay pure is to pursue the pure one, to know him intimately, to walk with him closely. Look at this verse in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Beloved, now we are children of God, and has not appeared what you shall be. We know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. Now, here's the key. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as what? He is pure. Those enslaved to pornography are not focusing on Christ enough. Those battling with pornography are not having lengthy times in prayer with Christ. They're not studying the Word deeply to commune with their Savior. Those battling with pornography are not finding their satisfaction in Christ. They're not focusing on him and the cross and what he has done for you. They're not remembering that purity is accomplished by his righteousness and not our works and effort. Ask the Lord to restore your first love. Turn your affections to Christ. Remember, he is pure. He's coming again, and he will be perfectly pure and will be perfectly pure forever. But seek that closeness with him now, and you will desire his purity now. Fourthly, believe you can overcome pornography. Again, Romans 6 now. A lot of men get discouraged because they turn away from pornography and then they find themselves like a dog returning to its vomit. Stop believing. They stop believing that they can become free. God can rescue you from this sin, but you've got to trust him. I got to tell you, I was gone from Gene for 2.5 weeks. I was all alone traveling on an overnight train from Siberia to Moscow, Russia. Really a nice place. And in my heart, I was battling with lust. There was no external stimuli, just my fallen flesh. Remember, this is Russia, yet no external stimuli. I prayed, I took my stand on the scripture. I recalled every scripture I'd ever memorized. I literally, there was a handle above my bed. I put my hand on that handle. I said, God, I'm putting my hand in your hand. And I'm saying, you alone can deliver me. And he did. He did. Just took it right away. God tells us we're not slaves of lust. We have to believe that. Look what he says in Romans 6:11. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey its lust. Do not go on presenting members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness. Present your bodies to God as those alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. God actually shares three clear steps here in Romans. If you look at it, Romans in verse 6 and 9, he tells us to know the truth. See that word knowing? He wants us to know the truth. He actually says, know that. You need to know what God says. Therefore, memorize the scripture about lust. There's a lot of it. Memorize that. Your internal heart idols. Memorize scriptures that address those issues. God's character of purity and holiness. Memorize those scriptures. God designs and his design for marriage. You need to know the truth. What does he say in Psalm 119:11? Thy word have I treasured in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Number two, believe the truth. That word reckon or consider in Romans 6:11. You see it there when he says, consider yourselves. It's reckon yourselves. It is the very first command in the entire book of Romans. The very first imperatival command is to basically, and this is my paraphrase, take your stand on truth that you are dead to sin's power. Believe it. You don't have to do this. God can overcome it. And through Christ, you can do anything. Take your stand on that. And then number three, act on truth. That's Romans 6, 12 and 13. Don't keep putting yourself in situations where you can easily fall back into the sin of pornography. That leads us to the final crucial step. The problem is what? What is it? Lust. The priority is the what? Heart. And the path is to flee. The path is to flee. We live in an environment where it's almost impossible to flee because you run away, you run into something else. I mean, you're going to run into it constantly. And we live in bodies that where the lust of the flesh is like a wild animal that needs to be caged. But regardless, God says to the lust of pornography, 1 Corinthians 6:18, flee immorality. He says in 2 Timothy 2:22, now flee youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, love, faith, peace, and those who call upon the Lord from a what? Pure heart. The point of flee is run away, escape, shun, avoid, turn from. That's what the word means. Now, how do we do that? First, flee by seeing pornography as a heinous sin. Pornography, number one there, is a serious sin against God himself. See, God is the one who created men and women. God is the one who designed marriage for male and female for life. He intended sexual intimacy in marriage to glorify him and to bless a husband and wife. His blueprint for intimacy is perfect. He didn't make any mistakes. And it points to his character, bringing him glory and blessing. But get this, pornography is a sick and cheap distortion of God's design. Pornography is adultery and fornication of the mind. And more. Let Jesus' words in Matthew 5:28 cause you to fear. Are you ready? Look at verse 28. But I say to you that everyone looks on a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Now read on and be very afraid. And if your right eye makes you stumble, tear it out and throw it from you. For it is better that one of your parts of your body perish than for your whole body to be thrown into what? Hell. And if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it from you. For it is better that one of your parts of your body perish than for your whole body to go into hell. Jesus says this because he wants you to be afraid of the sin of lust and evil desire in your heart. He's not talking about adultery here. He's not talking about fornication. He's talking about the lust of the heart. It's a serious issue. And there are thousands of people hearing Jesus speak these words. It's a graphic hyperbole. And basically to make certain that they knew that the sin of lust of the heart must be dealt with drastically. Jesus is not advocating self-mutilation. Please, no patches next week. But verse 28, he told us already this lust is a sin of the heart, but he makes his point, doesn't he? Doesn't he make his point here? that lust is a heinous sin against God? Are you getting that? Number two, pornography is a serious sin against all women. To fuel the pornographic industry with your participation is feeding a system that abuses women worldwide. It contributes to worldwide sex trafficking and unmentionable horrors forced upon women and children, and you are fueling that industry. Over 75% of every child molestation case has its roots in pornography. Over 60% of every rape has its roots in pornography. I remind men battling with pornography to wake up to the reality that in every pornographic movie there is a camera, there's a cameraman, there's lighting, there's a sound technician, there's a director and more. It's all fake. But in the participants, it isn't completely fake. It is not pretty. I know of a Christian woman who came out of the porn industry. She was a porn star. When asked, didn't you feel sick about that? She said this, quote, I felt dirty all the time. I felt gross. And then she said, that's why myself and the other women I was working with did drugs a lot. We get so depressed. We felt so sick about what we were doing. We try to forget about it by using drugs and getting drunk. Pornography is a sin against your wife. If you're single, your future wife. Against your daughters, against women worldwide who are being sexually abused by men. Flee by seeing pornography as a heinous sin. Number two, secondly, flee by taking specific action against the source of pornography for you. For most of you, it's your computer. Others of you, it's your cable channels. For some, it's people at work or students at school, students who have books or magazines or MP3 players or pictures on their phone. Whatever the source of pornography for you, the Greek word to flee means run away, get away from it, shun it, escape it. If you're a true Christian, you love the Lord, you'll hate sin. If you are a true Christian, you love Him and you hate sin, which means you'll deal with the contributors of pornographic problem. To flee in this matter involves one of two steps. Are you ready? Here they are. Step one, control the source. Get the computer out of your teenager's room. One more time. Get the computer out of your teenager's room. Get it out now. Are you thinking at all? Do you remember what it was like to be a teenager? I'm afraid when I remember what I was like a teenager. I'm afraid for you. Get it out of there. Put it in a public place. The door is always open when the computer's on. Keep the computer away anywhere where anybody can be alone. Install Covenant Eyes, which we have at the end of your notes, or some other tough porn filter. Add a filter to your cable channels. Hide the remote. Control the source. Control it. If you can't control it, step number two, cut off the source. If you can't control it, flee means get rid of it. You don't have to have a computer in your home. Get rid of the internet. You only use the internet at school or at work. Stop all your cable programming. Cut off the source. This is not a game. Don't play with this. Third, flee by immersing yourself in the disciplines for battle. What are those? Here they are. Discipline, scripture, memorization. Commit to memory the appropriate verses against lust and against the idols of your heart. The discipline of devotion, make more time in God's presence through prayer, worship, praise, silence. Get out of the house, worship Him outdoors, something. Discipline of fasting to help in prayer plus the denial of food 1 day a week, 2 days a week, and your life will strengthen your battle against the lust of the flesh. You're trying to discipline your flesh. The discipline of exercise. 1 Timothy 4:8 says bodily discipline is only of little profit, but it is profitable. And it can assist in your battle with the flesh. Discipline of service. Pornography is a selfish sin. Busy yourself in service to Christ, to the church, to reaching out to the community. It's reorienting your life and your heart toward healthy Christ-like habits. And the discipline of accountability. Write that one down if it's not there. The battle with pornography requires man-to-man accountability in ever-increasing circles. Let me put this plainly. Lone rangers are dead rangers. There is no Tonto. Paul says in Galatians 6:1, brethren, if a man is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in gentleness, each one looking to yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. The context of bear one another's burdens is confronting sin. He's talking about bearing a burden by holding each other up when you're sinning, when you're battling with sin, coming alongside a brother to help. I'll be telling you, every time I help a guy overcome pornography, they have to call me every time they stumble. Every single time. We talk through heart issues, we memorize scripture, and we talk about fleeing issues and fleeing steps. If they continue to call me frequently, the next step is to require them to call me and another brother every time they fail. Every single time. If they don't tell us, we beat them with a 2x4. If it doesn't curb the failure, then there are reminders of consequences. There is the addition of more brothers every time. So they're calling 5 or 6 guys. After a while, they're going to get tired of it. Or they're spending so much time on the phone, they don't have time to stumble. I am thankful that we have the kind of church, and we do, where brothers and sisters can confess their battles of sin to each other, man to man, woman to woman. And get godly accountability and get this strong exhortation. We hate sin here because God hates sin here. Amen to that? But we also know we all battle with it. Number 4, flee by taking care of your spouse's needs. The reason God commands intimacy, commands it, in 1 Corinthians 7, is that a husband's or wife's God-given intimacy appetite can only be legitimately fulfilled by their mate. Whatever it takes in your marriage, work at desiring your partner. Not merely meeting their needs, but desiring your mate. Study the Song of Solomon. Ask God to change your heart. Get under the mentoring of an older godly woman. Since Titus 2, she'll train you to like your husband. Have honest, non-threatening discussions with your mate in this area and use common sense. Listen, if caring for the house, mentoring all your children all day long while cooking an amazing dinner for your husband exhausts you, you've got nothing left, then fix some peanut butter sandwiches for dinner, take care of his need, and I guarantee he'll be happier. And he won't care about dinner. Use your head. Some of you, ladies, just because he doesn't complain, because godly men really work hard not to complain, doesn't mean it's not an issue. Talk about it. Fifthly, flee by living dependent on the Spirit, pursuing Christ. Fleeing is not merely running from lust, it is running to Christ. He says, flee youthful lust and pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace. Pursue those things with those who call upon the name of the Lord from a pure heart. Fleeing is not just not sinning, it's growing to be more like Christ. In fact, if you fill out your life with pursuing Christ and learning the Word and obeying His commands and functioning in ministry and sharing the gospel, you will find less and less time for lust to invade your life. One of the solutions is to stop focusing on not doing something and start doing something. Pursue Him. Pursue His mission. And as you do, you will find that that will become less and less of an issue. But here, one final reminder. Get this, please. You and I can't flee in our own strength. Just as Paul prepared us to fight spiritual warfare in Ephesians 6:10, he said, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord in the strength of His might. And you remember that. The command is literally be strengthened by the Lord. Ultimately, it's reliance upon His might, His Spirit. It must be humble. It must be dependent. It's He must do this through us. And if He's not doing it through you, maybe you don't have Christ. In order to resist the poison of pornography, God's got to work through you. You have to be reliant. So the problem is lust. The priority is the heart. The path is to flee. Let me ask you some final questions. Number 1, do you make a practice of looking away? Job 31:1, I have made a covenant with my eyes. How then could I gaze at a virgin? I'm so thankful that God made women beautiful and that I married one of the most beautiful. But with all others, it is healthy to make a practice of looking. I'm not talking about your sisters this morning. Get up, greet each other. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when you see a woman in the far off, and you know, you might think that she could be attractive, or you see a billboard way off, or you see a commercial come on the TV, you make a practice of looking away. Just as an act before God. Say, I'm going to look away just to discipline my eyes and also to honor You, Lord, by Your strength and to find joy in that. Make a practice of looking away. Number 2, do you believe that God Himself designed intimacy? The world's turning it into something dirty, and the Bible is not anti-sex. The entire book of Song of Solomon is dedicated to the beautiful description of sexual intimacy and romance for a husband and a wife. It is frank without being crass. It is pro-intimacy and the enjoyment of sex, but only in marriage and under God's design. Intimacy is beautiful and it is good. And number three, do you love purity? God says to the pure, all things are pure. If you've been made pure, you will love purity. You'll want purity. If you don't love purity, you're not his true child. Listen, Jesus didn't die for you so you could look at pornography. Do you love purity? If not, we invite you today to turn to Jesus Christ. Let's pray together, shall we?